Hello, friends. I'm Pastor Bill Miller, pastor of Redeemer Covenant Church in Liverpool, New York, and I am your pastor for the day. The format I use in Pastor for the Day is a question and answer format. I receive questions at my email address, which is pastorbill@myredeemer.com. Let's see what questions I can answer today without looking too silly. Number one, how can I overcome temptation? Well, first we need to understand that temptation is all around us, and we are fallen creatures. But the Bible does say that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind and self-control. So I believe that it is possible to overcome temptation. But I would recommend, as a practical thing, to replace sin with something else, and not try to focus on just avoiding the sin. For instance, if you think that eating chocolate cake for you is a sin, then don't just sit around all day thinking about chocolate cake and how you're not allowed to have it. Pretty soon you'll be thinking about it, thinking about how it tasted. Pretty soon you'll go buy one and eat the whole thing. Instead, if you start thinking about chocolate cake and you don't want to, I would suggest replacing that thought with something else. When you think about cake, think about praying. Think about praying for people in your church or your country or the world. Things that we see, we often think about, we imagine, and then we do. So I would close the gate as early as possible. Next question, what does the Bible mean that we are not to judge others? Well, the Bible said, Jesus said, before you start taking a sliver out of your friend's eye, make sure you take the 2x4 out of your own eye. And he's exaggerating, of course, but the idea is, if you are focused on the little sin or weakness or something like that in someone you know, and yet you are full of sin yourself, what's the point of that? Now, let me say that judging non-Christians is completely unfair because they have no reason to be biblical. This is important. I think as Christians, we've lost sight of this. As Christians, we want to judge non-Christians for something that we don't think is right. But the truth is, if they haven't given their life to Christ, they have no real reason to obey Scripture, to do what God wants them to do. So to judge non-Christians is just unfair. And judging Christians is really the leader's job, a leader in a church. And hopefully those leaders will do that with fear and trembling. Okay, how can I evangelize my family and friends without pushing them away? That's a great question. The first thing to do is love, and the last thing to do is love, and the middle thing to do is love. If you love your family, try to live as best you can. Live as an example or a model to them. That will shout what Jesus is doing in your life, and eventually it will get their attention. And then use words when necessary. I wouldn't start there. Next question. I've done some very bad things. Will God forgive me? Well, all sins are forgiven in Christ. Remember that Paul, who previously was Saul, killed Christians. Before he wrote most of the New Testament, he was on a Christian killing spree. Remember that Peter denied Christ 3 times. Remember that King David, who God loved him, he took another man's wife and then had the man killed. Also think about the story of the prodigal son. A father has 2 sons, and one of them says, hey, give me my inheritance now. I don't want to wait for you to die. I'm going to do my own thing. He gets his inheritance. He goes off. He squanders it on loose living. And finally, he has nothing left. And he says, well, you know, even the servants at my father's house are doing better than I'm doing right now. So I'm just going to go back and beg him to take me in as a servant. And the Bible says that when the father saw him coming over the hill, he ran to him. Now, that says to me that he was looking over the hill, hoping his son would come back. He runs to him, he puts a robe on him, a ring on his finger, he kills a fatted calf, has a big party for him. And all this time the kid is saying, I don't deserve to be your son anymore, I just should be your servant. But the father didn't have anything to do with that. He loved his son. And that's how God loves us. So no matter what you think you've done, God's love for you has never changed. All right, what does it mean to be anointed? Well, I think it starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, that's a promise. We can receive Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can also be led by the Holy Spirit. That comes in many different forms, being led. Mostly it's through scripture. We read a verse and we say, this is what I should be doing. There's a passage in scripture that talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is fruit that would be evident in our life because the Holy Spirit is in our life. There are some of the fruit that, or some of the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are other fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And all this feeds into an anointing where we are close to God and able to minister in His power by His Spirit. Hey, let me stop there. This has been Pastor Bill Miller. I am pastor of Redeemer Covenant Church in Liverpool, New York. I've been your pastor for the day. If you don't have a church, I would invite you to come visit Redeemer. We're friendly. We're not too big. And it's easy to get to know people there. Also, if you have a question that I can tackle on a future Pastor for the Day, please send it to Pastor Bill at myredeemer.com. God bless you.